Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT Photo, episode number 40, recorded on January 17th, 2012. Koi Then.
TWiT Photo is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWITPHOTO1. And by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle your used electronic gadgets from your home or office. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it. Gazelle your used gadgets today at Gazelle.com. It's time for TWiT Photo, the show that I look forward to every week. It's all about the art of photography. We talk to some of the best photographers in the world, take a look at their work, ask them how they do it, get some lessons from them. It's just really fun. And, of course, we owe it all to our host, Catherine Hall, a brilliant photographer in her own right. CatherineHall.net is her website. And you bring in some of the best people. I'm just thrilled. Here's your post for the New Year's resolutions. A little late.
I know.
2 weeks late.
Yeah, photographers, we're not the quickest bunch.
And I love this picture of you. That was the outfit you wore a couple of weeks ago for our show.
I figured it was my New Year's Eve shirt.
That's so cute.
Trish gave me that shirt.
You look like you're about to take on the world there.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. So I have 10 tips for you today.
All right.
We don't need to read them all. But people can go to our blog. You can pick one or two.
CatherineHall.net. Click the blog.
Basically, I wanted to make something that was kind of quirky. Not serious resolutions, but kind of making fun of photographers, including myself, and going through some of the things that go in our heads.
I did read the inspiration for this, which was the 10-year New Year's resolutions for designers.
For designers.
Which was hysterical.
Exactly.
So this is for photogs. If you spend every Friday night with a glowing monitor, you may want to get out more.
Yeah.
Photographers spend a lot of time in front of their computers.
Yeah, weekends don't exist for me anymore. It's kind of a blur.
Yeah. This is actually not so tongue-in-cheek. When you're creating, listen to that hard knot in your gut. Let this be the guide. Trust your gut. Especially when an idea first strikes you as stupid or absurd, it might just be your jackpot.
Yeah, and that's actually very, very true. If you're not risking or if you're not putting something
right
out there, you're not.
So when you're saying if you get scared, that's good.
That's a good sign.
You're looking for that.
And if you fail, then that's fine. But sometimes.
But that's how you felt, I'm sure, when you started doing this show, right?
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I started building this studio.
Definitely.
It's like, oh my God, what have we done? So far, so good. In the grand scheme of things, you are not that important. Don't just keep your ego in check. How about leaving it at the door? You know, you're so good at that.
Oh,
for somebody so talented, so beautiful, you're very normal and down to earth.
Kind of like you, Leo.
You could be, I'm so beautiful. You could be a pain in the butt, but you're not. You're the easiest person in the world
to work. A pain in the butt.
And yet, I like number four. Being a perfectionist can paralyze you. So you are a perfectionist, though.
This is actually one of the things that stunted me at first most in my career.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put anything else out there. And in the social media era, you can't hold on to your stuff. You've got to just
the clock's
get it
ticking
out there.
All the time.
If you leave, if you hoard, you're gone. Your history.
I will leave the rest. There are 10 in total to your homework.
You can read the last one. It's funny.
Don't take lousy images.
<We can. laughs>
I have to bowdlerize it.
Don't take beeps.
And then think you can infuse them inspiration. This is what I do, by the way, by retouching them with Photoshop or Instagram filters. Learn how to craft exceptional images in the first place. This is the true art of photography. And that's what this show is all about, is learning how to make those beautiful images.
And what is one of the most important aspects of photography, Leo?
What?
Design.
You know, it's funny. A lot of the photographers we've talked to, we've done so many great episodes of this show. What episode are we in? We're in 40. So,
40, that's a big one.
Yeah. The big 4. Are artists or designers first? They studied graphic design or painting first, which taught them composition. It taught them how to think about images, taught them about negative space. People like me, I'm always looking at what the picture's about instead of what the picture was not, you know,
yeah,
it's not
exactly
there. And that's, I think, helpful in making you a great photographer.
Definitely.
And our guest is a perfect example.
Yeah, so today we have Koi Then, who is formerly with the New York Times for 5 years. And he's been credited for revolutionizing the way the Times dot near nytimes.com
they do such a good
transitioned
job.
From print to. So originally there was a little bit of hiccups in the beginning, you know, because they were really trying to mimic the newspaper, but it wasn't giving the best UI design,
right,
user experience. So he came in and the team that he was with, and they basically completely redid, and he spent 5 years there. This is his, sort of his baby, I would say.
Coy, welcome. It's good to have you.
Thanks
Coy Vin from subtraction.com.
He's also named one of the 50 top designers in America. So,
wow. But you're a photographer.
He does photography, and I think it'd be interesting to start off with, why is photography so important to you as a designer, Coy?
Well, I think if you're a designer, you're really dealing with, you know, the combination of text and images, you know, almost all the time, if not all the time, and just really understanding how photos are made, how good photos are made, is a really essential part in you know, sharpening your design skills.
One of the things I always liked about the New York Times front page, and by the way, you left more than six months ago, so you can't be held responsible for anything that happens since.
No, that's right.
One of the things I really like about the New York Times front page is it, you know, you have the traditional New York Times masthead and a date, but you also have, and the articles are columns, which, so there's a, it is reminiscent of a newspaper, but I love the integration of both, of multimedia, of both pictures and video into the Times pages. They come alive that way. And the Times has especially done some really great stuff in the Bits blog and in the tech side, where you've got infographics and really, I think, really done a nice job of pushing the art and yet not leaving behind the newspaper.
Yeah, I think it's I mean, like I've said many times, it's really a team effort, and I played, you know, slightly larger than a bit part in it. But, you know, the infographics come from a really terrific team who's working on that essentially 24 hours a day. You know, the reporters have immersed themselves in multimedia. You know, the business side of the company has sort of really, you know, set the groundwork to make a lot of this happen. So I can only take a tiny fraction of the credit for it.
Well, we'll give you a little more than a tiny fraction. But
he's humble.
It's good to have you on. Now, have you, since you left, have you been still doing design, or have you done more photography since you've left?
Well, photography is really just a hobby for me. You know, I left the Times in 2010, and I started a new business early last year. It's called Mixel. It's a social collage app for iPad, and
which
that's
we have,
my,
by the way,
full-time.
Recommended and shown on iPad today. It was my app cap a couple of weeks ago. So
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Mixel is very interesting. And, you know, it's funny how people like M.G. Siegler, who is not an artist, can't stop. Can't stop creating these collages.
But isn't that the point, Coy? I mean, isn't the target for the non-artist?
Absolutely. Yeah, we really think that tablets give us an opportunity to help non-artists make art. If we can make it really fun and really social and really conversational, and that's the goal, is to reach a wide audience of people who don't think of themselves as artists, and draw them in and let them have fun doing that.
Your timing was good, because it was right when that meme was going around of the pepper spray cop. Very early on, part of the kit that people were passing around was him, so that you could make your own, and it made it as easy as could be to make your own pepper spray cop montage. And a lot of them came about, and I think you have a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, actually, Anil Dash is the one who put together that original kit. And,
right.
Yeah, people picked it up and remixed it and just went to town with it. It was really great to see.
Yeah, I did too.
So why are you, I mean, I see this sort of as an Instagram kind of inspired.
Not exactly.
Well, I mean, taking it from, here's where how I'm seeing it. Giving access to people that are
non-artists.
Instagram really does sort of promote creating art despite your background. And it's quick and it's easy and it's simple. You can learn it very quickly.
Yeah.
How did Instagram came out before Mixel? Was that an inspiration for you at all? And how do those two sort of correlate?
It definitely was an inspiration to us. You know, we're big fans of Instagram. We think they've done so much right. And the key lesson for us is if you let people get a little bit of creative satisfaction almost immediately when they come in, when they start fooling around with stuff and just trying it out, then you can really just draw them in and get them engaged in a way that a lot of art-making apps haven't been able to do, whether you're talking about desktop apps or even, you know, the first wave of iPad and tablet apps. So looking at what Instagram did and also how people were really using visuals, really using photos to conduct conversations was a huge inspiration to us.
Yeah, so the way it works, just so if you didn't see the iPad Today show, is that people can create bits. It's a collage. It's a really fun collage tool by itself because, you know, the touch right. interface really makes it fun to drag things around. But you can also, in this process, create bits which you can then share with your friends. So right. Anil Dash created a pepper spray guy bit. Thing that he, and then a kit, he actually called, it's a kit. So he had all the pieces that you would need. Then you can get his kit and add it to your images. And then everything is further shared down the road. It's almost like the GPL, it's viral sharing. So if you create something right. to share it with others. And I love that idea. It's really
right.
fun.
Every image is saved on the date on the server, so anybody can pick it up and reuse it and remix any collage. It makes it so that there's always something that you can use and always something that you can start from.
Right, right.
So you're taking this next step where you're not only creating imagery, but you're using other people's art as part of your imagery. How does that
right.
make it more of a social? What's the goal with that other than making it more of a social experience?
Sure. So part of the challenge of collage is if you don't have a lot of good stuff to work with, then it's not that fun. So every time you add something in Mixel, it actually gets saved on the server, as I said, and it becomes available to anybody else to use. So there's an endless array of bits or images that you can pick up and reuse. And even if somebody has cropped a picture of like a pepper spray cop, they've cut out just a single part of it that's of interest to them, you can go back and you can revert to the original collage or to the original image and cut out an entirely different part. So it makes the act of creating the collage is very, very fluid, very easy, and it lets people riff on each other's ideas almost endlessly and really conduct these visual conversations.
What I'm looking at your Instagram feed, since we're talking about mm-hmm. Instagram, and what I like is your pictures are all very designerly. You're very much thinking about the composition and the elements, and like this $100 Monopoly yeah. money bill. You almost feels like a piece on Mixel. It's like
yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it's like I want that. Okay, that's good. Do you see photography as collecting ideas?
Yeah, I very much see photography as a way of collecting ideas and helping to articulate those ideas. So if I see like that's actually a piece of Monopoly money. If I see that on the ground and it's an interesting arrangement, I will capture it as a way of saving it for later, but also as a way of sort of composing an idea and getting that out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So you've spoken a lot. Can you explain your philosophy with your grid concept and
sure.
how grids can help create order in a disorder?
This is beyond the rule of thirds that we always
yeah.
talk about.
Yeah, yeah. We're taking right. the rule of thirds to the next level.
Yeah. Well, the rule of thirds is, I think, a really good start of it, and sometimes you don't need to go much further. I mean, the way I always think about every composition is that whether you acknowledge it or not, there's an invisible grid there, and people will look for some sense of order in any composition, even if no order was intended. People will look to look for things that line up and for some sort of just overall compositional story. And in design, in web design, that's particularly important because you're really trying to create an atmosphere where people are are, you know, they feel at home, they feel that the publisher or the proprietor of the site has sort of anticipated their needs and has organized things in a way that really makes sense for them. So so I've been talking about grids for a long time as a really fundamental compositional tool for designers to learn, and I haven't talked about it so much for photography, but I'm always sort of, you know, looking through the lens with that in mind.
Well, it's interesting because a photographer, and I've learned this from this show, is always, in a way, doing this a similar thing by getting your eyes to follow a path on the... Is that accurate to say
definitely,
that?
Definitely.
That you're very aware of what people will look at first, second, third, fourth, and very often, this is true in painting too, there's a path that you almost want the viewer to follow in the photograph, and that's the story. In a way, of the photograph,
exactly.
Right? So the grid helps you, I think, in terms of organizing that photograph and the composition of that photograph.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how are you? I mean, so you walk up to a scene. Are you seeing it in lines? Are you seeing it? How's your brain digesting it from a design aesthetic?
I look for shapes first, and then I try to align the shapes with this sort of invisible grid.
Here's an example I just wanted to pull up from your subtraction.com website.
Yeah, I love that.
Two cars waiting at a stoplight in Orange County.
Yeah.
And if you count the lines in here, there are quite a few. There's a horizontal line from the tree line, another horizontal line from the stop line. There's a vertical line going through it from the lane. There's a vertical tree, another vertical tree, a vertical post, horizontal lines from the light poles. This is a grid in action.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm always trying to get the lines as straight or perpendicular as possible. That's sort of the aesthetic that attracts me and that I aspire to. So
that's a designer for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing messy.
Yeah.
I don't want messy when I shoot. I get back. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's all crooked.
It's all crooked. Me too.
I admire that.
No. That's what we use Lightroom for.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I'm a pro at the Lightroom tilt.
Right.
So, and then, well, here's another one. These are lines, but not in an orderly fashion.
Perfectly ordered.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you think that people either intuitively know how to see like this or they're trained to see like this? How much is innate versus learned?
I think composition is a skill that you learn and you acquire over time. And, I remember learning this in art class and then in art school. Like I went to art college over time. So I think you really have to be always working on it, always looking to improve your compositional skills. But it's not something maybe for some people, but for most people, it's not something that just sort of automatically happens without any effort.
Here's a perfect example. This is your brand newborn baby. Hours old, and instead of, as almost any dad would do, taking a full-on frontal picture of that baby, you've moved her to the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah, that's a trick I use often. I think if you keep things off-center or just peeking in from the side, I think it adds a lot of visual interest. I think I think most people expect subjects to be squarely centered, and if you just set it off kilter a bit, I think it adds a lot of visual sort of mystery to it that otherwise wouldn't be there.
It's the first thing I tell you when you look at a snapshot, you know it's an amateur because everything's in the middle.
Right.
And a pro very rarely will center the object of interest, and I don't. Maybe this has to do with that eye motion, because you don't just sit and look at this picture. Your eyes move in this picture, and that's what you're looking for, right?
I mean, did you feel like it was risky with the crop, not only to the side, but you actually cutting off?
I bet
the
you
eye.
Took some full face pictures too.
Yeah,
you just didn't publish them.
But what about like not letting her eye complete? Was that something that you consciously thought of, or?
I'm not sure I consciously thought of that. You know, what I was looking for was, I wanted to communicate as much information as I could with as little of the subject as I could. And I wanted people to sort of focus in on the hands and the juxtaposition with the nose and the eyes. And And I think some combination of conscious and subconscious decision making, I sort of decided, you know, like the edge of the eye wasn't really necessary. So I made the crop from there.
And there's a much more of a story because of this, because she's sleeping, but her hands are so busy. You know, they're doing something. And so there's this great tension in the picture because of the composition that might not have been there. By the way, her name is Twi, and she has Twi.me, which is fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah.
She's in the making.
That's the best website. Boy, that's great. Twi.me.
Thanks.
She has 2.5.
Hasn't been updated for a long time.
Doesn't matter. She's got it.
You know what's funny? He has the website for her, but he said something to me that really made me laugh. Tell me about what your daughter equates the landline versus the cell phone to.
Oh, yeah, this is interesting. This just came up the other day. I had my landline phone. We still have one. It's actually a Vonage line. But and she was asking me for the phone. I said, here's the phone. And she said, no, that's the telephone.
Wow.
And for her, a telephone is a landline, and a phone is something that can take pictures.
She's 3 years old now. That's very, for a three-year-old.
So the telephone's the phone, and then the actual cell phone is the camera.
Wow. Right.
Isn't that interesting?
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So which kind of brings up the point of this sort of merge of communication and how visuals and pictures and image, how everything's becoming one and the same in a sense, this mixed media world. So what do you see as the future? I mean, obviously, collages is the Mixel is a perfect example of that mix.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. But we're going to take a break.
Take a break.
So we're talking to Koi Vinh about his work, his photography, and his design. You thought it would be interesting to have a designer on to talk about photography. So I do concur. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to take your many years in art school, your many years of design experience, and distill it all down for us so that we don't have to go to art school. How about that?
I can't wait to see how that turns out.
Koi Vinh, it's great to have you. Let's talk a little bit about Squarespace.com, the secret behind exceptional websites. If you're a photographer, you can see, you know, every photographer we talk to has a website, more than one in many cases. They show their images. This is where you speak to the world. So it's certainly true that if you are getting serious about your photography, you've got to have a website. But it's a kind of a challenge because your business is not web design. Your business is photography. You may not have the skills of somebody like our guest. Squarespace makes it all very easy for you. Look at that. They've already got the stop censorship bug up on squarespace.com. I'm not surprised. Squarespace.com. So here's what you get. This is hosting. Very, very good hosting. The best hosting in the business, plus the best content management software in the business. So it makes it very easy to it's everything you need. In fact, you could try it right now. Just go to squarespace.com, click that big green try it free button. All you'll need is a name for your site, a password, and an email address. No credit card, nothing. You get 2 weeks. 100% of the Squarespace capabilities are available to you. There's no, you know, watermark or something that says this is a trial site. And you can get started very quickly with their existing design templates and then start tweaking and making it your own. You can also import all the existing stuff if you have an existing site for movable type, WordPress, Typepad, or Blogger. Almost all websites now support one of those four APIs. That means you get all your content, your pictures, your SEO, your links. Everything is preserved in, and you can, if you decide to leave, get it out. You're never trapped. Squarespace has iOS and Android apps that make it easy to post and moderate your site. You get great statistics, too, on the apps. Or you can go to the website and really get a lot of information about who's visiting your site, where they're going, how it's ranked on Google. All of that stuff is handled for you. Squarespace.com. Try it today. I love it that they've got that link on there. It's a day early. We're going to talk about the SOPA blackouts that are going on tomorrow on TNT in just a little bit. But Squarespace.com. Click the examples, too, by the way. The examples will give you an idea of how people are using Squarespace. And there's a photography
tab. And look at Cotton Hall Studios site. I'm going to build my app site on here.
Are you? You should.
Yes, I am going to.
You should.
I'm going to use the TwitPhoto1 code.
Good.
My discount.
there's our offer code right there. TwitPhoto and the number 1. Now, that's after you decide, I love this. This is for me. I want to buy it.
Yeah.
You'll get 30% off for the first 3 months if you use TwitPhoto1 as the offer code.
That's pretty good. 30% off.
I know. It's a big, you know, it's The thing is, it's very affordable. Squarespace is very affordable. Yeah. That's one of the nice things about Squarespace. Considering you're getting the best hosting in the world and you're getting great software to make your site look unique, take a look at what the photographers who use Squarespace are doing. It's a, you know, it's a really great way to get that site up in minutes without a lot of effort. I mean, look at this. This is a, just a beautiful site. So give it a try. Squarespace.com. 2 weeks free. If you decide to buy, use TWITPHOTO1 as your offer code. You'll save 30% for the first 3 months. We thank them for their support of Twit Photo. They're really, really great guys there, and they really love photographers. Their support is excellent, too. So, how many years of art school? We're going to get in here in 20 minutes. It's nice. It's really nice to have Coy Vin on. His website is subtraction.com. He's got a whole photo portfolio. We've been looking at some of the pictures as we go there, but also information about all of the work that he does. Why subtraction?
Well, I'm really interested in doing as much as you can with as little as you can. You know, there's that old saw that designers often repeat. You know, a design is complete not when you're done adding stuff to it, but when you're done taking stuff away from it.
Love
and,
that.
And so that's where that came from. Also, you know, I registered that a long, long time ago, and it just happened to be available. So, you know, I grabbed it.
Take what you
pretty,
get.
Pretty good domain.
Take what you
get. Boy, how many domains are you sitting on right now?
I'm probably not as bad as other
I'm a
folks.
Hoarder.
I have maybe about 15 or 20.
Oh, that's nothing. Know? Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm a hoarder.
Just go get them up.
Well, it's cheap, and if you've got an idea, you want to, you know, you were smart. You got subtraction.
There's no way you can get
that's
that.
Very valuable,
right?
Yeah. Right? Get them now while you think of them. If you can, if there are still any left that are unusual and useful,
yeah, exactly.
So,
so art school and so give us some design tips. How can photographers, when they're looking through the lens, what can they look for to create order out of chaos?
Well, I think, you know, part of what I try to do when I take a picture is organize the scene, organize the imagery. And, you know, I try to focus. I do that by trying to focus the eye on the things that are most important to telling the story that I'm trying to tell. And then I use, you know, basic compositional skills learned from being a designer to then get the rest of the scene in line with that story that I'm trying to tell. So it's really about looking at a scene and trying to extract the right composition from it.
In fact, that's the first tip you have for us. Learning to see through a camera is a great way to sharpen your design eye. So it goes in both directions, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think learning photography is made me a better photographer, and learning design helped me get started in photography. I came to photography relatively late, only when digital photography came along. So
here's an example that you give. This is a bulletin board. You call it Craigslist 1.1, and it's a grid.
Yeah,
it's very naturally become a grid. What do we learn from this photograph? What can you learn from this?
Well, this is a case where the elements are very much in disarray. I think anybody walking up to the bulletin board would say, "There's really no order here. There's no master game plan." But you know, what I try to do is step back from it and get things lined up and really show that there's sort of like a hidden grid there. There's sort of like a hidden order, and
right.
You know, try to communicate that by, you know, getting the angles lined up as squarely as I could.
Here's another example of lines and grids.
Yeah, I'm really attracted to like the abstract in the everyday when you can get, you know, those rectilinear shapes,
the curve of that curb.
And are you training yourself? How are you training yourself to see in these shapes? I mean, you don't.
Well, sure. I'm training myself by trial and error, by taking, you know, tons of photos and throwing out the ones that don't work, and learning about when I take a shot, learning to see if it comes out the way I want it to. So there's really no other you know, shortcut that I've found.
I'm with you. I think you can learn this. Because I don't have any visual sense at all. In fact, one of the reasons I wanted to do more photography is because I'm so... through my career, 30 years in radio, focused on my ears.
Yeah, yeah.
and not on what's going through my eyes. Plus, I've always had poor vision, so I've never been a visual person. So for me, I like photography because it gives me a chance to, expand my brain by forcing it to think visually.
Yeah.
And I don't have any of that natural skill. So I do think you can listen to people like our guest and learn more, and then do exactly what you do, Coy, which is look at the images and say, why I don't like that. Why don't I like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why does that one work? Why does this bicycle going up this hill work? Because of the geometry.
Yeah.
And this particular shot points on another philosophy you have about flattening things, which I thought was really interesting. Because most photographers,
everything's in focus.
Everyone talks about depth,
right.
depth.
Right.
And he has a different perspective. Can you share that with us?
Sure. I mean, in many ways, this is sort of me doing design through a camera lens. Like, I really like flat shapes and really want to sort of organize the shapes in a way where we almost like remove the depth. So this is obviously like a 3D scene, but in many ways it could just be a design layout. Like it could be
right.
A picture of the townhouses in the back, and then a bicyclist, and then the side of this wall there. That's what I'm looking for. When I'm shooting photos all the time,
I think that's where the designer in you really is good for us to broaden our range.
Yeah,
because you do work in a 2D space when you're designing on the web or you're designing on paper. Mm-hmm. And I have always been trying to a picture is fundamentally 2D, but I've always tried to get three dimensions
into it. Most photographers,
but sometimes just saying no, let's flatten it. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this really works here because of the geometries
and
the motion of the bicycle. And I just, that really works.
And all the shapes. I mean, between the square bricks and the round wheels and then the wall above and the windows
Love it.
So how much do patterns, are you looking for patterns a lot and replicating shapes?
Yeah, I look for grid patterns, obviously, and that's a natural for me. But anytime I can use a pattern to sort of almost flatten out space, I think that I find that to be really, really satisfying. So, like the patterns on the side of that brick wall, I think were really great.
Right. Tip number two: the language of photography is important as part of design literacy. What do you mean by that?
I just think if you're going to be a good designer, you really have to understand photography. I mean, there's photography on the level of compositions, and we've already talked about how doing one can complement the other. But especially now with digital design and designing for social media, I mean, so much of social media is about photos now and how people think about photos and interact with them and exchange them. And
so true.
We've
all become photographers, haven't we?
We all have.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, these social experiences are often thought of as primarily as text experiences, but they're just as much, photo experiences and image experiences.
Oh, maybe more so now because, a picture's worth 1,000 words, but because of Path and because of Instagram. And so, Path is interesting. This is that iPhone Android app that we're all here using. Mm-hmm. We're almost sharing our lives in pictures almost entirely. There's a little text, but it's really sharing your life in pictures, which is fascinating.
Yeah, I think that's really fascinating.
Here's an interesting image that I would have gone for depth of field, but I think you were so right not to. You flatten this because there's so many planes. And every object is of interest, and it's just much more of a geometric picture because of everything's in focus.
Yeah, for me, it was such a jumble inside that space, but
yeah, see, so I would have tried to simplify it by saying, let's focus on the foreground and the back. I would have said, let's pick one thing, and that would have, in this case, this is a much stronger image because of not doing that.
Yeah, the abstract shapes, I think, are what make it really interesting. And the eye can sort of dart around that room and sort of enjoy all the little details.
The way the light skips from each piece of furniture. So you rarely are shooting at low f-stops. Are you usually f8 and above, or what's your typical sitting point?
No, I often will shoot at lower f-stops because I like... natural lighting situations. So
that's a challenge here because this is fairly dark. You want everything in focus. By the way, no shadows. There's no hint of three-dimensionality here.
Yeah.
You know? This is great.
Yeah.
So you just were lucky?
Yeah, I often just get lucky and then a little bit of post-processing.
Post-processing.
He goes where we walk away.
Yeah. This is a great example of graphic arts in action.
Yeah. I mean, that's a design, basically.
Yeah. I love
it. That's a bus stop in San Francisco, actually.
And we may someday see a design by Koi using horizontal stripe, or I guess angled stripes.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Right,
it's like this is like out of Vogue or something. It's
right.
Yeah, it's, it looks like your shirt actually. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. See, I wore this for you, Koi.
Oh, that's perfect.
Here's another example in Union Square. The unique store. Actually, this is Soho. This is in.
Right.
The sales clerk urgently told me photography is forbidden in the stores.
Oh yeah, of course. New York is very protective.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you moving around a lot to get? Because I noticed the angles are so perfect with the shapes that you're creating.
Yeah, I have to move around a lot. And actually, the previous photo of the stripes at the bus stop, I remember basically standing in the middle of the street there trying to avoid traffic in order to get to get the lines so that they wouldn't, you know, like curve too much. I was trying to get them as flat as possible. So,
okay.
Yeah, it takes a lot of repositioning.
Little tip here, kids. Don't get so caught up by the design that you get run over, okay?
No, but that's what makes a good photographer.
It's true.
Everything else goes to the wind.
I have done that myself occasionally. Yeah. Just said, don't stop traffic. I've got to take this picture.
The hard part is I usually bring the model with me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not just you that's at risk. Here's a picture of another store in the Marais in France.
It's in Paris.
Yeah, again, the lines. And the choice of having the wall be half the picture.
Yeah, you choose a lot of silhouettes. I mean, that goes back with shapes
2D.
Being the most important thing.
2D.
And the dimensionality aspect of it.
Now, this was, I'm sure, fortuitous. She just was standing there and you liked that profile, right? She wasn't posed, I would presume.
No, she wasn't posed. I think she was sort of helping my girlfriend try on some expensive clothes.
Where'd Koi go? Oh, he's off taking pictures somewhere.
Yeah.
It's actually good if they can be entertained while you're shopping.
From now on, I'm bringing a camera with me. I hate shopping.
Yeah, I make my boyfriend bring an iPad, so he entertains himself.
This is great. This is a snowstorm in New York City.
Yeah, that's actually right in front of the New York Times building.
That's great.
Right in the middle of a big snowstorm a few years ago.
It says, here was a reminder of how thoroughly pampered and just plain soft I am.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to go through the cold and storm to get to work.
Right. All I had to do was get on the subway and go to work. The subway stop is right close to the building.
This poor person's work is in the storm.
Out there. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So camped outside in the snow all day long. So,
How often are you using your iPhone for these sort of snippets of life, and are you carrying your camera around?
I use my iPhone much more now than I use my DSLR.
Wow.
And that's just because the camera's so good, and it's with me all the time. And
me too, actually.
It's great.
Me too.
I get restricted with the iPhone. I need some inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels hard because I'm so used to having the control I have with the DSLR.
You have no control on
I miss that too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I miss the control a lot. I'd like to get a small, Micro Four Thirds or something like that to play with. But
that's a good idea. Very hot now.
Yeah.
What is your DSLR, just out of curiosity?
I've got a Nikon D70.
Okay. I have a D70, except that Trey Ratcliffe melted it in the. I gave it to him for the last shuttle launch,
and it got
a little melted. It's okay. That's why
he gave it to him knowing
it was
happen.
That was part of the deal. He said, "I'll give it back to you, but I can't promise it'll be any kind of shape when I do."
Kind of working. I think you might actually have more camera gear than I do.
I have far more camera gear than any normal insane. and then the worst thing is I keep looking at stuff and go, "Oh, this new X11. Oh, that looks good." I mean, you gotta just please tie me up. Here's a nice shot of Mr. President.
That's my dog.
Yeah. And again, the geometries of the windows, the light from the windows, and then the soft geometry of a dog in the middle of it, which is great.
It's kind of an ideal subject, too, because he was very still. He was just basically passed out.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of chances to get
play with
one right.
Play with it, One more tip Photography is an essential part of social media now. Understanding photography as a social element is essential for any UX designer. I guess you'd say that was true in the New York Times. Pictures all over, and it really, it does. It makes it pop.
Yeah.
If it's just text,
Yeah.
Well, it's like blog entries. If it's just text, it's sort of hard to digest.
You've
got to
have
at least have one image to sort of relax the mind. And
Right. And designing for photos takes a lot of practice over and over again, like especially user-generated photos like we had at the Times, just creating an environment where those photos could work well and not be overwhelmed by the design and complement each other. I mean, that takes some practice.
That is. That's a challenge, isn't it? That's a challenge. Do you want
to... Sites like, or you know, apps like Instagram and Flickr do such a great job of really letting the content sing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
What about?
Hold on, let's take a break. Come back with more. Get your questions ready, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
a few more minutes left. No, that's all right. I'm just moving things along. Koi Vinn is our guest, designer and photographer, and we're talking about the value of design in improving your photography. Before we do that, though, how about you want to know how I get all these all this gear?
Yes, I would love
to get rid of the. Actually, I wish this were true. I get rid of the old to make room for the new.
Yeah.
No, I keep it all. It's all in the closet,
Leo,
in the drawer.
Anyone that knows you knows.
I even have that D70, a melted D70. What am I going to do with that?
You kept the melted one?
Of course I do.
Oh, no.
Go see, what I should be doing is go to Gazelle instead. Gazelle.com. This is the place where you can kind of recycle your gadgets and turn them into cash. This is what the alchemists who were trying to turn lead into gold, this is what they were trying to figure out. The way to turn lead into gold. Your gazelle.com. What do you got? Let's see. How about an iPod Touch? You got an, you know, I got the new iPhone 4S, or maybe I want to get the iPhone 4S. I want to trade in my iPod Touch. So I just go there. Now they say a couple of questions. Is it working? No, it's working great. I just want the new one. Do I have all the pieces? The battery's built in. The AC adapter? Sure. Engraving? No, I didn't get it engraved. Okay, let's see. $90. I'll take it. Now I'm halfway to my new iPhone. So here's a button that says, put it in the box. So what you do is you get a box, you throw it in the box.
I like that.
And you keep going. You're not done. Go through your closet. Go through your drawer. Might as well make that box carry a lot of weight. What else do we want to sell?
Some
you got
cameras,
a Galaxy. Phones. You got a. How about a? You know what? I want to get this new Canon. So
they
I'm gonna
even do calculators.
They do every. You know, there's I don't know what tens of thousands of categories. You could just go on
this
and on and
good.
On.
This is not only good for getting cash, but for the environment.
I have that old PowerShot G11. You know, they upgraded that. The new Canon. What is it?
Oh,
the X1.
Yeah, but. Oh, the G11. I don't know about those things.
So I'm going to sell the G11. No, you don't believe in having a point
and
shoot?
No, I compared it to the specs of the S95.
I agree.
They're comparable.
They're comparable.
It's way bigger.
Now they have an APS-C, though, and that's what I want. See, I want a bigger. So I'm going to sell this G11. $145. Add it to the box. So keep going. That's the idea. They will give you, they pay postage. They ship it back to Gazelle. And then what happens? You get a check. You get a money order. Here's what you get. Here's your choice. You can get a check. They'll PayPal it to you. You can get a Walmart gift card. But my recommendation, get the Amazon gift card because they add 5% on top of it.
Plus Amazon. Rocks.
And everything's on Amazon. Every camera, every lens I want is on it. I just buy it through Amazon. So that's what you do. I've raised $235 and I just began. I will have thousands of dollars in this box just from stuff I don't use. It's getting dust.
So why don't you do it, Leo?
You should do what I don't do, because I'm a pack rat, I guess. 22 categories of gadgets. Every gadget worth a dollar or more qualifies for free shipping. If there's stuff that's really old, it's worthless, then I have a few of those as well, like that melted D70. I can't get any money for that. They'll recycle it, though. So, you know, electronics recycling has to be done differently, the battery and everything. If you do it through Gazelle, they pay the shipping. You know, just get a bunch of stuff in there and throw the extra stuff in, and they will pay for it, and... They don't put it in landfill. They don't ship it overseas. They do 100% green recycling, ISO certified. So you know, like you're sending it to a nice grave, a good grave. You're not sending it to the atmosphere or a landfill. Gazelle.com. I want you to try it right now. Don't sell
it.
Gazelle.
And do it.
You know, it's just.
You introduced me to so much good stuff, Leo.
This is your New Year's resolution. You want to get rid of the clutter? Gazelle.com. and you get cash back. It's like a win-win.
Trish is going to be very happy. She has a pile of
stuff. Trish probably has been dying to get you to do this. Don't sell it. Gazelle it. GAZELLE.com. I saw an offer code there, but I don't know if there is an offer code. I don't think they give me an offer code. You don't. They won't ask you for an offer code or anything. Just do it.
Just do it. Do it.
Do it. We are talking to Coy Vinh of Subtraction.com. I love this. You put version 7.1 of your website. Are you always redesigning?
No, actually, I haven't touched that in, God, maybe 6 or 7 years.
Oh, all right.
Oh, wow.
You messed with it for a lot, then you stopped. You got it perfect.
Yeah. It takes so much effort to redesign, so I've left it.
I imagine if you're a designer, it's like the last thing you want to do is do free design work for yourself, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's fun. It's just, you know, it's just you need a lot of free time. And, you know, I have a young daughter now and I have a startup and there's not a lot of time to redesign a personal blog.
So it's worth reading. Now, let's talk about the startup real quickly. It's on the iPad. Sure. It's free, right? M-I-X-P-L.
It's free.
So what kind of startup is that? What are you, nuts?
Yeah, we are nuts.
How are you going to make any money out of this?
No, you've gotten over $600,000 worth of funding for it.
Yeah, we got some great investors.
Why is this such a great idea? Tell me what.
So we think just like with photography, actually, you know, 20 years ago, there were relatively few photographers, but what happened was digital cameras came along and made it cheaper to take photos, but also social networks came along and made photography a much more communal, conversational, casual activity. So we think we're at that stage now with making art and collage making.
Boy, I love that idea.
Yeah, so you have the iPad and Android tablets, which are people are buying them to read and to watch videos and so forth, but they're really kind of perfect digital art making tools, and they're kind of sneaking into the homes of people who don't think of themselves as artists. So
look at that. Oh, that's cool.
That's the coolest one.
Thanks.
That's yours? So we got to follow Coy Vinh on Mixel. I'm going to start following you. No, I think collage is very accessible. In fact, a lot of times in art, you'll do physical, cut out. My kids, that's what we started with.
Yeah.
It's accessible, and yet it's real art, and it's very appealing. And I love adding the social element where you can have other people give you bits for your collage or search for bits for your collage and then share your collage with other people, and the bits of your collage can become part of their collage. It's like making the whole world a mashup.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Love that.
Yeah.
Well, the primitiveness of it is what I think, because it becomes a more of a meditational, social, calming thing versus, you know, you're so used to working in, say, for example, programs like Photoshop where your brain is really
too much work
on. I mean, it's a technical program.
This makes you go.
This is more relaxing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We actually purposely left the tools very primitive. You're not going to be able to get the kind of precision you can get in Photoshop with Mixel. But what we found is it's really liberating for people. They don't have to worry about getting it perfect. They just they just get their idea out there.
And go follow Coy on Mixel because he does a variety of stuff. I mean, from silly to austere. To actually gorgeous fine art. I mean, I think
like that's beautiful. The balance in all those shapes.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Thank
all
you.
Black.
So were all those your photos, or did you? How many different people helped?
You don't have to. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah,
you can search for anything you want, and just take
those. You can perform a web image search right within the app, so you really have access to basically anything you can grab online. So,
you know what? I'm always looking for something I can do with my iPad. I always the default is playing Plants vs. Zombies. I got to stop. I'm going to start. I have this all on here, and I've done quite a few, but I'm going to do more, and I'm going to follow you so that I can get some inspiration.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes.
It's been
really
wonderful meeting you, Coy Vinh. Follow him at subtraction.com or on Instagram. Right. He's Coy on Instagram, K-H-O-I. Mm-hmm. If you've got the Batman head, then you've got him.
All right.
And also Flickr, Coy Vinh on Flickr.
Coy on Flickr.
Coy on Flickr.
And at Coy on Twitter.
And at Coy, K-H-O-Y on Twitter. So yeah. Nice to meet you. You see, every time we have somebody on, I want to go out and take stuff in their style. So now I want to go out and do some graphics design.
Flat. I know you're so easily inspired, Leo.
Oh, yeah, well, some would say inspired, others would say distracted.
Inspired.
Nice to meet you, Coy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Leo. Bye. Thanks a lot, Catherine.
Really appreciate
it. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Mixel.cc. But really, you don't need to go to the website. Just get it on your iPad. Mixel. It's easy to find. And follow them online at subtraction.com.
Yeah.
Chat room wants to know, Ms. Catherine Hall, when are we going to have our contest winner on? Have you booked him
he's
yet?
He's February 7th.
February 7th.
And he's coming in studio.
Well, he oughta.
Yeah.
And he oughta.
We have actually next week. This is perfect segue into next week.
Yes.
We have Jack Collingsworth, who's like the king of, he does everything on iPhone. So he's going to actually.
You're kidding.
We're doing a sort of a different show next week where he's going to do a presentation for us. And you and I can ask questions and chat room can ask questions. And teaching us about iPhoneography.
iPhoneography, our subject
yeah,
next
so
week.
Perfect
I
segue.
I love that idea. I think that's great. I'll bring my iPhone. We'll take some pictures.
So I'm hoping that this will help me get over my whole, I never took pictures.
You know what? It's good because it's, artists love constraints. So it's just another constraint.
It's so hard though.
Like,
I just wanna get,
well, you want to carry
back to
a camera.
That perfectionism thing. I got to read my list.
You got to see, this is the medium I'm working in. What can I do that's interesting with this medium? And all you have to do is look at Instagram and you'll go.
I know.
Okay. Remember Penny said that? Penny de los Santos?
That's what she looks at every morning.
That was her inspiration.
Yeah, every morning.
Telling you. Catherine Hall is at catherinehall.net. Go there and read and learn and enjoy her great art. And if you're looking for a photographer, do you still do weddings, or are you going to get out of the wedding business?
I do like 10 a year.
So if you have a very special wedding and you're in the Bay Area, no, anywhere in the world, she'll come. She'll go anywhere in the world. catherinehall.net. And when are we going to do the wedding photographer show? That's coming up next month.
February 14th.
That's going to be very Valentine's
Day,
of course.
Yes.
How could I forget?
We have Jerry Gionis. He's brilliant.
Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's going to be in studio, too. We have 5 in-studio guests in a row.
Wow. Thank you so much for joining us. You can follow the show and see all 40 episodes now at twit.tv. Please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We do make audio versions available. I don't know why. But hey, sometimes you're in the car, you can't be watching, you want to listen, and then you go back and get the video because you want to, you know, see the images that we talk about. Twit.tv, it's all there, Twit Photo, CatherineHall.net, Subtraction.com. Coming up, tech news today, big story, Jerry Yang, the founder of Yahoo, has just left the company. We'll have it all on tech news today. I'm Leo Laporte. We do Twit Photo, by the way, every single Tuesday except when I'm in Vegas. Which doesn't happen that often.
No.
Every single Tuesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern time on twit.tv. Watch live and then subscribe, and you can see the difference, which is basically zero. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twit Photo. Mixel's so much fun. And I know MG
I
just
put
like,
on my iPad app so that
so
that'll
much fun.
Be another tool for boyfriend when I'm shopping. You can play with
yeah,
Mixel.
Make a collage. Boyfriend,
baby, sit down
make
and
a collage.
Make a collage.
And you know, if you've got PhotoStream turned on, he could take a picture with his iPhone. It goes into PhotoStream on his iPad. He's now got it available at Mixel, and he could do collages of you getting shopping done.
I'm sure he would love to do that. I think he prefers to
get the
tune
pepper
me
spray
out.
Guy and sprayer.
Oh no!
And the old dash.
He actually took the photo of me of the resolution photo. Pretty
really?
Good, huh?
Love that.
Yeah.
You look so angry. That's probably
that was
why.
Good.
Yeah, you look like
always
you,
am angry.
You're,
when I'm
you're,
with him.
You're doing that that blower looks like a cigar. You go,
well, I tried blowing it and it looks a little weird.
Not
sometimes
say
implication implications better than actuality.
I'm
sometimes.
Not going to say anything. That's right. As the great chess player Aaron Nimzowitsch used to say, or maybe it was Edward Lasker, the threat is greater than the execution.
There you go.
So you were threatening to blow it.
Yeah.
Look at her. I love this picture.